Supply the jokes.
Good idea.
Okay.
Better?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay, thank you, Idan. Okay, so we are now on Daf Gimel Amud Bet of Masechet Ketubot. The sugya that I want to focus on really begins, the conversation really begins on the previous Amud, but we're going to start really with source number one on the source sheet here, on Gimel Amud Bet. Tanya, Mipnei Ma'amru Betulan Niseit Liyom HaRavi'i.
Wait, where are you?
We are on Gimel Amud, yes, source number one. Mipnei Ma'amru Betulan Niseit Liyom HaRavi'i. Why do we say that the betula is married on a Wednesday? Sheim hayalo tanat betulim hayamashkim lebeitin v'tinase bechad b'sh. So that way, if he finds there are no betulim, he can go ahead and get married. He can go the next morning, run to the Beit Din. V'tinase bechad b'shabbat, but we know the Beit Din also meets on Mondays, so why not have the marriage on Sunday? V'im hayalo tanat betulim hayamashkim lebeit din. Okay, so the Gemara says, or this is a braita really says, Shaktu chachamim al takanat benot Yisrael she adam terech besuda shalosh yamim. Echad b'shabbat, v'sheni b'shabbat, v'shlishi b'shabbat, v'revi konsa. That really, you're right, it could be on a Sunday night, but we want to make sure that the women have the proper, the husbands invest the proper amount of time and money in the wedding. And so if the wedding's on a Sunday, how much time is really going to be able to put in? So put in, he prepares Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday they get married, beautiful. The braita continues. And the Gemara continues, from the Sakana and beyond, and we're going to talk about what this Sakana is, but from the Sakana and beyond, the women, they had the practice of getting married on Tuesdays. The rabbis didn't make a big stink. Ah, the rabbis had made a Sakana to get married on a Wednesday, but once there was this Sakana, we're going to spend the whole time talking about it, once there was a Sakana, the women decided, they decided they're going to get married on Tuesdays. Okay. No, they didn't get upset. V'sheni lo yichnos, v'machmada ones mutar. Actually, we'll skip the rest of that line of the Gemara for now. Continuing in the second paragraph of source number one, the Gemara now had quoted that Breita, and the Breita had said that from the Sakana and on, they didn't get married on Wednesdays, the practice was to get married on Tuesdays. So the question is, what's the Sakana? My Sakana? Ilema da amri betula niseit liyom haravi'i tehareg nahagu legamre niakre. I added the punctuation, the musical notes here, but the Gemara says, what's the concern? If the concern is that any woman who gets married on Wednesday will be killed, so then why is it nahagu to get married on Tuesday? They should just have gotten rid of the whole decree entirely. What is this idea that the nahagu? Amar Rabba, really what it is, de amri betula haniseit biyom haravi tiba'el lehegemon tchila. Rabba said what it was that the hegemon, the political, I don't know, military local leader would take the woman if she was getting married on a Wednesday, he would come and take her and be with her first. But the Gemara says, hi sakana, onesu, why are you calling this a sakana? There's no. Yes, it's not good, but is this a sakana? Is this a danger? Onesu, this was forced upon her. This is rape. This is what's the sakana that's going on here? The Gemara says, mishum tiket snuot demasran nafshayu lekatala vatian lide sakana. He says because there were women, there were snuot, who were so concerned about being with this non-Jewish political military leader, whatever he was, that they would rather be killed by him than to sleep with him, and that was deadly. They were willing to die for this. So the Gemara says, "V'lidrosh lehu de'ones shari." So why don't we just tell all the women that it's mutter? We just tell them that it's okay if he comes on Wednesday and he sleeps with her, then she's still muteret to her husband. She doesn't have to. Why don't we just tell them that they don't need to do this? The Gemara answers, Ika prutzot vikanami kahono. There are concerns of either the wives of the Kohanim that it would be a problem for, or prutzot that they are going to take this as an opportunity to have relations with this man, and then it's not going to be ones, then it's going to be biratzon. She's going to be doing it intentionally, willingly, knowingly, of her own volition, not just Ones, and that would certainly be a problem. And then the Gemara continues, so then Veliakres, so then why don't we just totally get rid of this takana of doing it on Wednesdays? And the Gemara answers, Shmada Avida Dimvivatla Vitakanta Dirabanan Mikami Shmada Lo Akrinan. So since this is only a temporary type of, this was a specific Shmad thing happening, it was not a permanent thing, this was just, it seems maybe an occasional thing that was happening, and the Chachamim didn't want to change their Takana on the basis of this Shmad that was only a temporary type of thing. But if, so then the Gemara says, V'ihachi B'shlishi Nami Atiyu Vayil, but if there's, if, so then it'll just come on Tuesday. Like, what? They just got married. They changed the date from Wednesday to Tuesday. So why does that help? And he'll just come then. No, it was never a guarantee that there was going to be a wedding there. They were going to be getting married on the Tuesday. So the hegemon wasn't willing to uproot himself and go to just to find out, oh, I made this whole trip and there's no one getting married here. So that's that. What we're going to focus is that basic Shaklavitarya, the explanation of this Breita and the Gemara. The sakana is that the women were willing to give their lives instead of sleeping with him, and that was unnecessary. And so we shifted the date so they don't make this unnecessary act of being willing to die. That's what's happening right here. Clear?
Crystal.
Good.
Pardon me.
Please.
I'm not that particularly familiar with this anymore. But why could they not have made it, okay, get married on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday? What do they need Wednesday for?
Well, so the idea of Wednesday initially, that's what this Breita is talking about, is that we wanted to give it the opportunity that if the husband found that his wife, who was supposedly a virgin, was not, he would go to the Beit Din the next day. And if you had to wait too many days for Beit Din, maybe he would say, it's not that big of a deal, I don't really care. So by putting it so close to when the Beit Din was sitting, that would allow him to go immediately the next morning and say, there's a problem here.
And that's without Lucas 8 or anything like that.
Right, yeah. There's yes. There's, and yeah, we're only in like week number, whatever. We're gonna get there, I'm sure. We're in week six. We'll get there. We'll get to that. I'm sure we'll get to that conversation.
The thing is that they wanted them to be able to take the wife
to Beit Din. Exactly.
Quick.
Exactly. That concern, we said, saw this on the on Daf Bet. I think Rashi says that maybe he won't. He'll be really upset on day one, but day two, day three, he'll say, not a big deal, when it really should be a big deal. So that's that.
Or maybe he'll change his mind.
Yeah. Okay, so before moving on to analyzing this Gemara, I just had to acknowledge the following. I guess I didn't have to, but I thought it was a little bit interesting. Source number two, there's this website, Talmudologies. Jeremy Brown, who's married to, if anyone's ever heard of, Erica Brown, famous female writer, Jewish writer. So that's his wife. So he goes through on the Daf Yomi pace. He goes, and every so often he throws in various different science or medical or historical pieces that relate to that Daf. So on our Daf, he had a piece about this idea of prima noctis, the idea that the political military leader would frequently actually go and sleep with the woman the night before. Right before she gets married, he points out that's a whole plot point of the movie Braveheart. So I don't know. He's what he says in the basic article. We won't have to read it inside. What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. The basic point that he makes, which is sort of interesting thing to think about, is that most historians believe that such a practice never actually happened, and it was a myth that such a thing would happen.
But his method is irrelevant. He says, I looked through 100,000 responses.
Right.
What responses did he look at from the times of the Greeks and the Romans?
I'm not sure.
It's true. 1,000 years later, it wasn't going on.
What's that?
Moshe Feinstein didn't talk about it.
Right.
The fact that the Rashba didn't say anything in the 14th century.
I hear. There are many historians seem to make this argument, but he says it really doesn't matter. In the end of the day, he says it really doesn't matter. And also, if you think, this is something I was talking with Daniel Shanis about earlier, like, the fact that the Gemara itself presents it as like, this wasn't like a permanent thing that was happening. It like happened every so often that, because the Chazal didn't want to be metakin this because it was ultimately going to stop anyway. So maybe there is, if this was really like a permanent thing that was happening, maybe the Gemara would have addressed it and actually just changed the date. The fact that it never changed the date, it just said, well, we allow them to do this practice because of this concern. Maybe that's why. That's what I was hypothesizing the other day. But either way, whether it historically definitely happened or not, there is Talmudic literature about the potential concern about what would happen. So regardless of what Dr. Brown thinks or what historians argue, and you could read the whole article, for it's sort of interesting. And what he says in the end, he says, this could be true. And so that's already enough to have the conversation. Yeah. Well,
I mean, if you look at this historically, I don't mean to talk too much, but...
You got the front row seat. I think that if you're sitting in the front row, you get to talk as much as you want.
If you look at this in a historical way, you see that this type of thing, where Jewish women have been subjected to this kind of abuse happening again and again, and it doesn't matter whether it was the Inquisition or whether it was the Nazis or whether it was the Russians or whichever peoples we were subject to, this was a very common thing. For example, I know my mother and her family was from Poland. So her aunt, who lived to be 102 years old, told her that when it came to the non-Jewish holidays, the Jewish women would hide in the basements and lock themselves away because they were afraid of this abuse.
Yeah.
So that kept on happening and happening and happening.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, that's the reality. Daniel Shanis.
The Gemara says in the Sakana of Eilach, it sounds like there was a time period where it was just common practice to get married on Tuesday.
Yeah,
it wasn't just once in a while. There was
an yeah, but also it wasn't the way I'm understanding the Gemara when it says Veliya Krei Shmada Vida Debatla, meaning that yes, it was there was Misakan of Eilach, but it wasn't like a Sakan of Eilach forever. In which case, they would have been Me'akeret. The fact is that there was a time period where this was happening, and it was now called Sakana, but it wasn't necessarily like this is now happening forever.
Yeah, that's, we definitely did have a time period.
Correct, yes, yeah. Granted. Okay.
Could it be that this is all sort of a euphemistic mashal? Like bia ba'ones, I don't know if that's the term, but like that's a bit of a euphemism. The idea of the hegemon being the aggressor, maybe that's a euphemism. Maybe the real aggressors were mainly not political leaders or people in power.
Interesting. Maybe the thought here was maybe this is all sort of euphemistic, and the people who are involved here and onus beratzon is not. That's interesting. There's in source number two, Dr. Brown brings brings a parallel case in the Yerushalmi that presents the same basic idea but differently. And it actually, I encourage you and anyone who's interested in maybe what else might have been going on historically to take a look either at that article where he quotes this Yerushalmi or to look at the Yerushalmi. I think it's Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, Ketubot Yerushalmi Aleph Hey, if you're interested, because there it presents a different reason or a different concern that was at play as relates to this. I don't want to go down there because I didn't really prepare it and I don't remember it fully. But there is what to talk about in the realm that you're bringing up, that's being brought up. Like, Are there other factors that were at play historically? And there is another factor that comes up in the Yerushalmi there. I believe it's Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, but someone can double check that. But okay, so that aside, good question, good conversation. That aside, I want to go to the Tosfot. We'll skip source number 3, Rashi. We'll go to Tosfot right now in source number, it's really 5, there's a ghost 4 there, but source number 5. So Tosfot asks, source number 5, and this is the big Tosfot on the Amud. Vim tomar v'ha amrinan b'perek ben sorimor, eh? Al kol averot yavor v'al yehareg, chutz me'avodot kochavim v'gului ariot yishvuchut amim. In other words, what are we doing when we say, oh, we should tell the woman that this is mutter? What do you mean it's mutter? This is gului ariot. Well, how could you ever come up with saying that this is mutter? This is usser. This is one of the big 3. V'tirat Rabbeinu Tam. So here's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. De'ein chayvin mita al be'ilat mitzri. He says, really, that's not Yahar Gval Yavor of Gilui Arayot is not when it comes to Be'ilat Mitzri. And Mitzri here, I think we're saying any non-Jew. Derachmana af kere lezar e de Mitzri, because the Torah itself removes the status of Zera, like human Zera, so to speak, from the Mitzri, from the non-Jew. Tichtiv, v'zirmatam, susim zimratam, that they're... Zirmatam, that their seed is like that of horses, meaning that the Tanakh itself is equating the bia of the non-Jew to that of an animal, and therefore it's not going to have the same halachic status. Yeah.
Just to be clear, in context, it's talking about the avodah zara. It's about the idol. It's not talking about the non-Jew. The Gemara does what it does with it.
Okay.
But in context, it's about the avodah zara.
Okay.
Is it quoting the Gemara or?
He's building off the Gemara, which is building off the Pasuk. But the Pasuk in context is talking about the Jews going after the nations around them and their Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
Okay. But either way, Rabbeinu Tam is using that Gemara as evidence that, look, their Bia is not like a normal, normal. It's not like the Bia that would be problematic. Umayti Raya, deparich beperek ben soramor, eh? Ha Esther farhes yahavai, and there is a whole situation that's in footnote number 1. There is a whole question: how could Esther have slept with Achashverosh? It was Shad Hashmad, and it was a. But the Gemara says that this was befarhesya. Esther was sleeping with him befarhesya, and that should be. Well, actually, look at the whole footnote number 1. Actually, Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is footnote number 1 on page 1. Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Shelo B'Shad Hashmad. If B'Shad Hashmad, Afilu Mitzvah Kali Ereg Val Yavor. Even if it's a Shad Hashmad, even Mitzvah Kala, you have to be Ereg Val Yavor. Kiata Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Shelo B'Shad Hashmad Lo Amru Ela Betzina Val B'Farhesya Afilu Mitzvah Kali Ereg Val Yavor. Even if it's not Shad Hashmad, even if we're not dealing with any small Isser, if it's Befarhesya, Yehareg Val Yavor. And the Gemara questioned, Fa Esther Farhesya Have. But Esther was Befarhesya. So why was that okay? Esther was Farhesya. And so Rabbeinu Tam says, look, it's asking Esther was Befarhesya. Velo Paricha Esther Guli Ariot Havya. It wasn't asking, oh, but this is Gila. The question was all assuming that it was okay. Oh, it's not okay because it's Befarhesya, but otherwise it would have been fine. Mashmuna Dimishum Ariot Lo Have Michaiva. So this shouldn't have been a problem. It was just because of Farhesia. So Rabbeinu Tam looks at this and says, oh, you see from here that the Be'ila of a Mitzri, of a non-Jew, of Achashverosh, of anyone else, is not a problem. And so that's what the Gemara is here. It's okay. It would be okay for her to sleep with him. So we could have, the hegemon, so we could have told her it's okay. And we told Kach, your Tosfot continues, he to Rabbeinu Tam levat Yisrael, sheimira. So now we have a situation. Rabbeinu Tam was halacha lemaisa, was matir, abat Yisrael, sheimira, so she converts to she leaves Judaism for Christianity or some other religion. She sleeps with someone there. So lekayma lo to aved kochavim, like getting married to him. Kshenit gayer, and then he converts to lo shayach lemeima. So he converts. So she left Judaism, was with a non-Jewish man. Then he converted to Judaism, and Rabbeinu Tam allowed her to marry that man. And this is there's not a problem. I'm not sure why I put the ellipsis there at the end of there, because I don't think there is anything else. I think that's the next line of the in the Tosfot is Ve'enira L'Rivam. But what Rabbeinu Tam essentially is saying, he was used this halacha l'maisa to permit a woman in this situation to say the bit that she had with the non-Jew was not, I don't know what to call it, halachic bia, to the sense that it would be asur l'baal, or asur l'boel in this case. It's not halachic bia. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Clear with Rabbeinu Tam? Yes.
Well, when it comes to Befar Hesia, maybe they were not doing it Befar Hesia. Maybe they were doing it Betzina.
Yeah, so I think that would require more of a conversation about this Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Sorry?
I think the answer to that question lives more in this Gemara in Sanhedrin. And I don't know that Gemara well enough to be able to answer directly, but I think the idea, the fact that they were going about, they were publicly open about the relationship that they were having in private. I think that's
king and queen.
Yeah. I'd have to look at that Gemara in Sanhedrin to answer with more confidence. No, that's totally fine. It's fair game. It's on the page. You're allowed to ask. Even if it's not on the page, you're allowed to ask. Okay. So that's Rabbeinu Tam. Ve'in nir l'Rivam, bottom of page one. Rivam doesn't like this. Deha alyede biat oved kochavim nesra l'ba'ala. Because through biat with an oved kochavim, she is asur to ba'ala if she's married. Kedemar hacha, dika prutzot. Because we have our Gemara itself was concerned about prutzot, was concerned about women intentionally sleeping with him because then it would make her asur. So we do care about bia with an ochri, with an oved kochavim. Right. And also would make her asur. I think the point that the Gemara thinks it would make her usser to her husband, just like the Kohanot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, yeah. It's also pritzut, yeah. But it's not just, I don't think he's drawing just because we call it pritzus, it also has halachic ramifications, yeah. I think. And that's what he's saying because Nesra al-Bala.
You could reinterpret the Gemara a little bit and say the problem is that now a girl's about to get married will say about situations where it's not Hegemon, and say, oh, this is Hegemon, this is not fair.
Sorry, say that one more time. You're trying to explain for Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
And saying what again?
That's even though it's totally mutter if the guy's coming, he's saying, I'm going to kill you if you're not with me. She's going to say the situation that is not like that. It's not. We're not dealing with Hegemon. A guy wants to be with her, she's going to say that's similar to Hegemon.
But you're saying with a Jew, though. You're saying it's going to be a Jew. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it shouldn't be a problem.
Well, it's still a problem to be a guy, regardless.
I don't think I'm following what you're saying. Rabbeinu Tam is saying, according to what we're assuming right now, understanding right now, is that Bilad Mitzri does not, Bilad Akum does not have the status of problematic Bia.
But it's still definitely us, so Rabbeinu Tam can't argue with that.
Okay, fine. So we're okay. Uh-huh, okay. So you're saying, yes, we'll probably get there at some point in the next 35 minutes. But say it again. So you're saying that really Rabbeinu Tam would agree that it's usser. Problem is that it's just not Yehar Gval Yavor, you're saying.
Yeah, it's not Yehar Gval Yavor.
Okay. So we're gonna, God willing, get in that direction momentarily. And by momentarily, I mean eventually. Okay, but you're thinking straight. Okay. Okay, so Rivam brought... Rivam is bringing our Gemara. So look, from the Gemara itself, you see that Bia with the Akum is still going to be a problem. Uperek Isha Shnit Armala later on. Gabe Ha'isha Shnachsheva Ben Shnichpesha Ben Ovdei Kochavim. Amrinan De Beratzon Asura Lebala. Again, a case where we have Beratzon. She's Asura Lebala. Vamar Nami B'Megillah Kasher Avadti Avanti Kasher Avadti Beit Abba Avadti Mimcha Alma Lagabe Bala Lo Chashiva Bilat Mitzri Kebiat Behema. We're not considering it Bilat Mitzri Kebilat Behema. Vuadin Leboel, and the same thing would be the Boel. Afal Gav, De'ain Znut LeBehema, V'ain Biat Behema Poselet, Veoserik, Termino Perakabal Yvim To. Okay, granted, the Bia is going to be, of the Behema is going to be different. Biat Mitzri Havia Bia, but still, the Bia of the Mitzri, of the non Jew, is going to be considered Bia. V'ki Afgare Rachman Lazare, but what's this idea of Afgare Lazare thing? Hanimili Li'inyan De'ain Lo Chaim Vizaro Chashiv Kizera Behema. I'm not sure 100%. I think I looked it up briefly. I saw someone give up shot and what that means, Ein Lo Chaim, but I honestly, I didn't put it down. Our Tosfot has a Mem Sofit, I believe, but someone else quotes it as Chayas. Yeah. So if it was Chayas, what would that be?
It's Yichus.
Yichus, okay. I think that is what I saw someone say. But I believe, if someone has a Gemara in front of them, I believe our Gemara does have a Mem Sofit.
I thought it was a song.
No, I think it does make sense, but if I'm not mistaken...
Okay.
I'll be honest, I read it more on Ala Torah than I did anywhere else, and I don't want to believe that Ala Torah ever makes a mistake. Okay, doesn't matter. Okay. No, but Chayas makes sense, because that's, I think, when the Rush quotes it, he says Chayas also, and I didn't honestly read it so carefully. That makes sense. Okay. Okay, but so that's the Rivam. V'yesh lomar, da'achi parich v'lidrosh li da'anus shari, lefi sha'isha hi karka olam. So the idea would be, we should tell them that it's mutter because she has the status of a karka olam. She's entirely passive. V'lo av demase. She's not doing anything. D'mashani b'perek ben soramora, Esther karka olam haita. Because that's ultimately what we say in, I did include it in footnote number one. That we say, it was okay for Esther, but for Hesi, it was okay because karka olam. And then he's going to try to explain now what was going on in that Gemara. He says, V'had lo parich, in the next paragraph, V'had lo parich, I'm on the third paragraph on page 2. V'had lo parich chatzam gilui arayot havia, d'pshita le, d'ika lishnuye karka olam hi. Didn't ask about gilui arayot because it was obvious she's karka olam. V'en alim soratzma, she shouldn't have to die as karka olam. Aval le'inyan chilul Hashem, lo hayanir lo shiltam d'karka olam. Because the Gemara thought, this is Befar Hesia, the fact that she's there, even if she's Karka Olam, maybe that still is Chilul Hashem. Maybe she should be so concerned about Chilul Hashem that she should not even allow this to happen. And the Gemara, and so Mishani, Karka Olam Haita, Vafilu Chilul Hashem Leika. And that's the Gemara saying, certainly there's no Gilul Ariyot, because Karka Olam. There's even no Chilul Hashem, also because of Karka Olam. Don't be concerned about Chilul Hashem. If she's entirely passive, there's no Gilul Ariyot. There's no Isser of Gilul Ariyot happening, that she should be giving her life. And there's also no Chilul Hashem. That's the Rivam. Uveperek mitzvat chalitza, deparek kebe Ya'el, that which we ask about Ya'el. He's now going to just continue his proof of what he's saying here, about Ya'el, who is also another heroine who was willing to sleep with the bad guy. Parek kebe Ya'el v'ha kemit hanya me'avera, Umishani tovatan shereshrim ra'ahi etzel tzadikim shiatil bazuhama. Velo mishani karka olam haita. There, the Gemara tries to explain how is it that it was considered, it was an avera, but she benefited from the avera of sleeping with Sisera. And the Gemara there says no, because since it was good for him, it was bad for her because he put in her this zuhama. Velo mishani karka olam haita. But if karka olam was like a easy way to say there's no avera, or no benefit from the Avera, so then why don't you just give that answer? So the Gemara, he says, lo mishani karka olam haita, mishum tahatam lo parich amai lo masra atzma. Because there, the Gemara wasn't having a question, it wasn't concerned about the gilui ariot side of things. Didn't ask amai lo masra atzma. Da lo ratza la hamita. Because there was no question there. He wasn't going to sleep with me or I'm going to kill you. Da adrava, he hatzrich shetish mreush. He was actually needed her to protect him. So there wasn't a risk of do this or I'll kill you. So it's not really in the category of Gilui Arayot. Elahachi Perisho. So he says, here's how you understand that Gemara about Ya'el. Vahad mitanya me'avera lamash mishavcha katuv minashim bo'olei tevorach. So we praise her for this. We say, look at this act. It was so, how could we, if she benefited from this Avera, but yet we say such wonderful things about her and about this act. We're saying, it couldn't be an Avera Lishma because she was getting benefit from it. So it's not like an Avera just for the, it was an avera she also benefited from. It wasn't an avera for the sake of performing a mitzvah. So, because she benefited from it. So that's why the Gemara answers, Mishani delomitanya vasta avera lishma, kdilatzil Yisrael. So it wasn't, if you say, no, it wasn't actually, she didn't really get any benefit. But that whole conversation is totally removed from the conversation of gilui arayot, and karka olam would not have been relevant as an answer there. So that's what he's saying here is, you might ask, if karka olam is really a legitimate thing that would allow it, so then it should have been evoked here in the Ya'el story, and he's basically saying no, because that's not what the conversation there was about. Hopefully that, I said that like just that last paragraph outside, but hopefully that was clear enough that he says, don't look at the story, this case with Ya'el as being a proof against Karka Olam. He explains that Gemara differently. Okay. Yes, please.
When they say entirely passive, right, it's talking about Beguf B'maisa, or is there something broader than that?
Well, we're probably not going to get there at this point, but there is a little bit of discussion about that. We might actually get there, but there is a little bit of discussion. What's the alternative? What are you thinking? Karka Olam being passive.
Like, she resists in some way? Is that what passive means? Like she.
Oh no, I don't know that. You're saying that maybe Karka Olam is only applied if she's trying to resist, but if she totally submits, I think this Karka Olam is just submitting and not even resisting. But we're probably not going to get there. But the very last sources, the last two sources on the page, are going to be talking about applying Karka Olam when she is maybe like preemptively, proactively, passively. But you'll skip to page 4 in 27 minutes if we're not there, and you can look at that a little bit. Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't this come out of Tosfos? Because this seems to say that, you know, she doesn't have to, but she could.
Yeah, there's...
It's right that it's usher. The Gemara should have said, the ha'anis, and therefore...
It's usher. Yeah. I didn't prepare anything here, but yes, this Gemara is brought as a proof against Rambam. Yeah.
Why is it proof? Why? They don't know. They don't know. Knows very clearly that I'm allowed to do the Shabbos.
It is discussed if you look at Yisodei Torah Perek Hey, which we're not going to look at, but we're going to look at only at Rav Chaim on that. But it is discussed in the Nosei Kelim on Rambam about how this Gemara plays into it. I didn't prepare it, but it could be that what you're saying, it's not a proof, and that could be part of the discussion there. But it is brought up. Usher.
Why did the Chachamim tell them that Banis is Shari? Isn't that what they're saying?
Well, no, because you couldn't use the word Usher, because that would have been read the opposite way. Darish Lahu, that Onus is Usher, you would have confirmed them in their thinking that they have to give up their life.
No.
The word Usher doesn't work.
Said, that in the case of Onus, Usher to give up their
life. You're
saying
Onus.
They couldn't.
There's no way to word it other than Shari.
Why couldn't you just word it as...
But if you're not allowed to, then the Gemara.
The word that's supposed to say, you should do it, or the halacha is you can't do it. No, you should not do it. And it's a simple question. Are you allowed to do something which is against the Torah but for the sake of Kiddush
Hashem? Footnoted in the back of the Masifter is a long discussion about this specific topic. I didn't prepare any of it, but there is discussion about how this plays into Rambam, 100%. And that Rambam is in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah Perek Hey, which we're not even going to really look at. We're just going to look at Reb Chaim on that. And Reb Chaim itself, and what we're looking at, Reb Chaim is not even addressing that. But that is where the discussion is on that Rambam. Okay, let's do the Trumat HaDeshen, source number 6. Trumat HaDeshen is talking about a case actually somewhat similar to the situation of Rabbeinu Tam, of a woman. Actually, she's... Actually, I didn't write down the case. I don't remember it so carefully right now. But it's another case of a woman who converts, and then she falls to Yibum, and there's a whole... the husband married a second wife. Ignore everything that I just said about what the case is, because I don't remember it well enough, so just pretend I didn't say anything. But in that case, in that discussion, in Siman Reish Yud Tet, source number 6, L'Divrei Rabbeinu Tam, Shekadfu, HaTosfot V'Ashiri, Perakam D'Ketubot, Mishmo, She'itir Halacha L'Masa, Bevat Yisrael Shenishmad Shenish Tamda, so he says, Tosfo, Rabbeinu Tam was matir halacha lemaisa, mishum delo amrinan de asara lo, mitam echad lebaal vechad lebol, de biato kibiat behema. And Trumat HaDeshen maybe wants to use Rabbeinu Tam whoever is a kula in this case is a chumra in the case that he was addressing. So he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Ve'afal gav de rivam cholek al Rabbeinu Tam. Umayti rayo buro de leit nagar de perkinhu de asirahi lebala al yadei biat nochri. And even though Rivam brings all these proofs against Rabbeinu, like Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Amnam nira dahaya dochek gadol amar Rabbeinu Tam lo hergish becholo tan rayot himuvashop imatznitin uvetalmud de asirahi lebala al yadei biat nochri. You can't read Rabbeinu Tam and think that he actually thought that bia with a nochri was okay. Rivam is bringing too many obvious gemaras against that to think that Rabbeinu Tam was totally oblivious to these other things. Tvei ilan lemeimer de mod Rabbeinu Tam de asura lebaala ve'af agav de chashiva kibiat behema ani milu the inyan iser de boel mishum de lagave nochri lo shayach and iser de boel, and I also would think it also to reach yahar gval yavor mishum de lagave nochri lo shayach iser kamol lagave behema aval mikol makom wil viat adam hi asura oseret. Miad Adam he asura usera lebala di Israel who v'shayach iser lagave. So he's saying what we're saying. You can't say the Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's mutter. It's clearly usser. You can't say that it's not usser. The only question is, does it reach the level of Yarag Valyavar? Does it reach the question, point of that should be usser to Boel? And then he says, no, it doesn't reach that level. But to say that it's mutter, biyad nochri is mutter, says there's no way that Rabbeinu Tam actually thought that because there's too much evidence against that.
Can't we just say that Gelshi is guy like a Kotech Lotami? Like simply that? That's the reason why if he's
been. So it's, he's not the Boel anymore. He's a different.
A Goy can't get married to begin with. And now he's converted, so he's a different person, so it's fine.
Interesting. Maybe. I don't know. That's a clever answer.
Thank you.
Well, let's hold on. We'll do one, two, and then. Yeah, it's totally fine.
So
yeah.
Say that the Isser is on the husband, then he's going to be. We're telling her that she must let the Hagman be with her, and then she'll be ushered to her husband.
No, but it's. I think what he's saying is that it's not us or what Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Dramat Adeshin, I think what Rabbeinu Tam would say about our Gemara is that it's usser, but it doesn't reach the level of Yahar Gval Yavor.
But it is Isser the Baal, so.
Not of its oness.
What?
Not of its oness, though. The Ratzon, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moshe. Okay. Yes.
Isn't that Iker Choser Ben HaSefer?
You're saying why wouldn't Rabbeinu Tam just say it?
Pardon me?
Why wouldn't Rabbeinu Tam just say it?
Sort of. Yeah.
I mean, I think you have to still. What's bothering to the Trumat Adeshin is that, like. But Rivam is bringing. He's not like jumping over, you know, lumdis hoops to try to prove. He's just saying, look at the continuation of our Gemara. So you've got to say it. But okay, fair. But it doesn't. I'd prefer to say like Trumat Adeshin than to say that Rabbeinu Tam missed something.
That's a little far fetched.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's. Let's look at the Rush. Let's look at the Rush in source number 7. Yeah, we'll look at the Rush in source number 7. I'm watching the clock right now. Okay. So the Rush says, V'hatakamar hacha, v'lidrushlehu de'ones shari, hachi perusha. So that which, you know, he says, v'lidrushlehu de'ones shari, that just tell them that it's just mutter, ones is mutter. Here's what it means. He's giving Rivam's answer. She doesn't have to give up her life because she's just going to be karka olam. So here says this. How do we know that for guloi ariot she has to give her life? Because we learn it from mirotzeach. Rotzeach gufei hu d'michayev limsor atzmo haynuk sheoseh maaseh. Rosh says, look, when it comes to, we learn gilui arayot from ritzicha, and the only time you have to be yarg v'lyavar for ritzicha is sheoseh maaseh. Val im amrulo hanach shenizrok otcha al tinok lehit ma'ech de'achar she'eno oseh maaseh beha vade amrinen mai chazit dama dechavercha sumak tvei dima dama didach sumak tvei. We only say that you're not allowed to commit murder when when it's an active thing. But if they're going to say, just lie there and I'm going to throw you on something, on a child to kill it, there, you're allowed to shevel tase. So if that's the case, that you can do a shevel tase for ritzicha, and a riot, we learn from ritzicha, so then a riot would also be the same thing. If you're karka olam, if you're just passive, you passively do this act, it's going to be mutter. Just like ritzicha, it's going to be mutter if you're in a passive state. V'gabei nara mu'urasa, garsin and yehareg val yavor, ve'abo elkai. When we're in talking about a nara mu'urasa, where it is yehareg val yavor, it's referring not to her, because she's karka olam, but to bring to the boel, who's active. Inami garsin and tehareg, Mari, or if you're going to say that it's tehareg, that she should die, Mari, di osa ma'ase, muviato aleha, related to the question before, it must be that she's doing some active thing. If she's fully passive as karka olam, then it wouldn't be a problem. It's the only thing, it's tehareg val tavor, if she is, you know, proactively bringing him upon her. Vadulo parich kebe Esther v'hagilu ariyot hay mishum tida shapir titame de karka olam moil she'enem mechuyevet limsor atzma, etc. That we actually, this is more a summary back to what the way Rebam said it. So we won't focus on that. But what the Rush is saying right here is that it makes logical sense. The idea of saying karka olam makes sense because for ritzicha it's only arg val yavor if you're active, not if you're passive. So gilu ariyot should be the same thing. You're only violated if you're passive but not active. No. You only violate if you're active but not passive. If you're karka olam, it's fine. Yeah.
I feel like the way halacha usually talks about this kind of isser is like assuming the woman's passive anyway. Like, do we ever have any place where it defines what is considered a sexual act for a woman? Because it's usually like for a man, right? Like what?
Right, right. So, I mean, the Rush brings up a case of ose maase umviato aleha. I don't know exactly how you define what that ose maase is that she osa maase that it is. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't give pratim. They don't give pratim. There's a maisa and then there's karka olam, and you're supposed to figure it out. But you don't see the sugyas actually.
Okay. So that's what the Rush says. So Rav Chaim, source number 8. He is somewhat bothered by this. V'yesh lamar, dekevan tiberachitza gufa, ha dechaluk shevel ta'asi v'masei adayim. The fact that we're going to say ritzicha gufa, hu dechaluk shevel ta'asi, there's a difference for ritzicha itself between passive ritzicha and masei b'yadayim, active ritzicha. Halo ein ze mishum chomer d'masei b'yadayim. It's not because of how bad it is when you kill chomer d'masei adayim. V'rak dekevan d'shnei nefashot shkulot hen. You have two lives hanging in the balance here. Alken or alkorch tzrich liyot shevel tase. In that case, you've got two lives. You have to go shevel tase. Right? V'dino k'shnei ritzichot she'en dochot zetze. You have two lives hanging equally. One ritzicha doesn't outweigh the other ritzicha. There we say, because the two things they're the same thing, ritzicha and ritzicha, dino b'shevel tase. Then you have to choose the ritzicha, you can choose the ritzicha that's shevel tase and allow them to kill, because you have two, it's either you die or they die, and they're both equal acts of ritzicha. Valken lo shayach zop arayot, but that's not the same thing for arayot. The name of the pikuach nafsho shekul karayot. That we're going to say that your life versus arayot are equal. Tekivan di alfina mirotzech biikar hadin deeno nidcha bifnei pikuach nefesh meila hador dina deshevel tase umasei adayim shavin b'chol gavnai tarog val tavor. Ultimately, I think what he's saying is that you can't equate two ritzichas to you die or commit gilui arayot. You can do that for two murders, but you can't do that here, is what Reb Chaim is saying, as far as I understand him. The Kovetz Ha'arot says similarly, and even footnotes Reb Chaim, which is why he says it slightly differently, but I think he's still making the same essential point. Source number 9 in Aleph, the bottom of page 2. Katvu betos from a perakabal yivimto, da isha shniv ala tavor valotereg, dene chayevet limsorats malamita, kivan deena osimasish, not doing anything, tekarko olemhi. Vidvrem tsurchin bior, ma chiluk yesh bein haboel leniv elet, del rachmana achshave lahanamase, kidichti venichritu anefashot haosot, trevayu bimashma. They're both doing this. Even if one is active, one's passive, one's the boel, one's the niv elet. They're both the same. They're both participants here, even if one's active and one's passive. Umashi view Raya lezo miritzicha. Diksha umrim lo hanachatz mechav yizrekucha al hatinok. Top of page 3. And we bring proof from there. Eino chayav lehareg. Bishvil atzal hatinok. Gam ken eino muvan. I don't understand that. Deshama tam hu dekeshe zorkino to al hatinok. Hu eino over al isra ritzicha klal. Ve'azorku hu aratzeach. Veshaber yesh tachalek imose maase ritzicha ulo. Aval begluy arayot. Shin chulu klal b'cho mer isra bein abol anivelet. Lam nechluku b'nein li'inyan yarek v'liavor. And then he has a thing. Ayen chidushi rabbeinu chayim alevi here. So I think the basic point that what he's making and what he, I think the way he understands Rav Chaim saying is that to make a distinction here, the same distinction that, to make the distinction that the Rush was making, they don't like. They say that this act of Be'ilah, even if one's active, one's passive, but they're both in the act of Be'ilah. So to say there's a distinction there is very different. To say, oh, but she was passive in it. But that's, she's still involved in the Isser. That, I think, is his problem. And not, I'm not 100% that I'm clear with his answer, but I think this is what he says in Bet, second paragraph of page 3. V'nira lomar, de bekavanat divrei tosfot, de svir lehu, deha dechayv lehareg, bishvil shlosha dvarim hachamurim. You have to be willing to die for these three things. Eina kavanat de pikuach nefesh, nidcha v'pnei agimol dvarim elu. It's not that we care about pikuach nefesh, you can violate everything for pikuach nefesh except for these three. Ela, de bezeh hechen lu... Ella de bezet hen chalukin mikol mitzvot de chol Torah nidchei b'tnei pikuach nefesh the gimel dvarim achamurim einan nidchei b'tnei pikuach nefesh aval mikol makom gam pikuach nefesh einan nidchei b'pneihem. Saying these are there, we have two unmovables. You are allowed to violate any mitzvah, any avera to save a life. We have another unmovable, which is that you're never allowed to violate gilui arayot. So v'chi agav nadika shnei dvarim she'inan dochin zeleze. You have two different unmovable objects, and they're coming up against each other. You have an obligation to do everything you can to save your life. You have a prohibition against doing gilui arayot. They're both of them are unmovable, so you're stuck. So kaimalan deshevel tasif adiv. In that case, where you have two unmovable forces, it's not that one beats the other, except for that they're two unmovables. So what do you do if they're two unmovables? Something's got to give. So the thing that gives is the thing that gives in a passive way. So do gilui arayot passively because you have pikuach nefesh on your side, but you just have, there are just two things that can't budge. Something's got to give. Shevel tase. The thing that gives is the gilui arayot. And he brings proof that we say that. The shevel tase is adif. Linyan bal tosif, bal tigra, ayan sham. V'im ken be'isha haniv elet she'ena osit shum masa befoel ena chayav limtzor atzma lahariga. So I think he's explaining. I think he's trying to go back. I mean, he's responding to the question of Rav Chaim essentially, and saying that the reason that you can make a distinction here is because you've got to do something to allow yourself to be killed. Would be to go against the whole principle of pikuach nefesh. So if you're going to violate one of these things, violate the thing that you can violate passively, which is, as karka olam, allow herself to be nivelet by this person. By this person.
So she's still over the isra, is kind of what we're saying. Like, she still did the avera, but like, it's better to do nothing.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's be the way he'd be saying, is that, there's still a problem, but the thing is that she's got to do something. It's either this or that, so do the thing that's the passive one. But
would there be like an argument for this approach? I don't know.
I'd want to think about it a little more. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. All of this was within Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. There's another approach in the Ritva that let's skip to in source number 10. We'll skip to the bottom line of source number 10, which is the Ritva, who is bringing up, he brings Rabbeinu Tam in the first paragraph, then he brings the Rebam's questions. And the very end, I'll go to the second to last line. V'hainu de amrinan hacha de masran nafshayu lekatala v'ati anli de sakana. V'lo amrinan de masran nafshayu lekatala umit katlin. Deha zimnin de afagav de inhu masran nafshayu lekatala lo bo lemiktalinhu ela de ansi lehu levi'ila. I think what the Ritva here is saying in this last line is saying the reason that we don't tell them they should give their lives for this is because Zimning to Afagabti Inu Masran Nafshayu Lakatala, there he's not they she he's she's we're not telling her to allow yourself to go ahead and allow yourself to be killed, because who knows if that's even what's gonna happen. We don't know that he's necessarily going to say, sleep with me or I kill you. Maybe he's gonna say, sleep with me, and she says no, so then he just rapes her. There's not necessarily the case that it's going to lead to her death. So we're not going to tell her that it's okay for her to go and give her life in this case, because who knows whether he's going to take her life at all. It's not, who says this is Yarek Val Yavor at all? This could just be violated like this or violated like that.
There's no decision for her to make.
Right, there's no decision for her to make, yeah. Said well. That's the Ritva, which I think is a different approach there. Okay, in the remaining time, we should do this. We'll do this Ramban here. Source number 11. Okay. Lidrosh Lu De'anush Shari. So the Ramban has a similar question, but takes it from a different angle, essentially. Ike de'kashile, v'had dinahu de'te'areg v'lal tavor, dav farhesihu, v'sharashmadhi. Why isn't this Yahar Gval Yavor simply because it's Befarhesia and Shad Hashmad? Right? Which we saw in footnote number one, right? It had acknowledged the fact that when it's Befarhesia and Shad Hashmad, every mitzvah is Yahar Gval Yavor, even if it's not one of the big three. So this should still be Shad Hashmad, Befarhesia. Tell me, it's not Kilui Ariyot. It's not Kilui Ariyot. Tell me, but even if it was changing the laces of your shoes, it would be a problem. So certainly, why is this okay? Why isn't this Yarek Val Yavor? Vika LeMeimer says, V'hana'at atzman hi, v'afilu b'shad hashmad nami tavor v'lo te'areg. Since it's hana'at atzman hi, it's the whole idea of this was only for the hana of the hegemon. V'afilu b'shad hashmad nami tavor v'lo te'areg, d'ha v'ade hana'at atzman hi, who? Midlo gazri te'areg v'gazri tiba'el alma einhu gufayhu lahanat atzman mitkavnin v'afilu b'shad hashmad shari. I think what he's saying is that since the whole point was all the hegemon wanted was not to kill the woman, ultimately he wanted to sleep with her, so the whole thing here, it was shad hashmad, but it wasn't shad hashmad in the point of like religious persecution of the Jewish people. It was more the leaders here wanted his hana by sleeping with this woman, and that was the motivation. And so in such a situation, even if it's like a shat hashmad, you're not required to yahar gval yavor if it's only for the physical gratification of the non-Jew. Yeah, Idan, and then Lashina.
You mentioned the Yerushalmi earlier.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the entire section of the Hasmon here.
Yeah.
So Lieberman, when he brings the Tosefta and he says that the Yerushalmi doesn't have it, so on and on, he gives another Yerushalmi and he builds up the idea that eventually, according to the Yerushalmi, it's not because the Hagmon wants this Hanat Atzmo, so on and on. It's the Shemad itself is just like any other mitzvah that back then
right, so that
we're not allowed to do. Also, this mitzvah that we're not allowed to do.
So what
he says there,
yeah,
is that if the Hagmon would want to take the woman, is exactly because he wanted to remove her from her dot. In other words, he wanted to exactly do something that according to the Torah she's not allowed to do so because of a religious reason and not because of any other reason. And he another support is the Tuesday thing, right? That on Tuesday you would not come and be Torah to look for them. Why? Because on Wednesday they were commanded.
That's the religious thing.
And that's wait, why he wanted to do
so. Wait, so but I didn't hear the answer. So then why isn't that, according to him, why isn't Yahar Gval Yavor that she should be giving her life?
So then maybe they should be Yahar Gval Yavor.
Yeah.
Not because of the Hanat Gufoy, because he really wanted to fight the Moshem to that. Yeah.
Right.
It was a really smart thing. It wasn't just.
But so.
If it was only for this, and also the on Tuesday you would come and you'd be in Torah.
Right. But so then, what is Lidrosh Lehu De Anus Shari? Why? It's Shad Hashmad.
It's Hashmad.
Right. So the Ramban's question, I think, is still. I mean, Ramban answered the question by saying it's not.
And I answered the Ramban is that it's not because there isn't any
right. Right. He's answering the question, but right. This he can't use that answer.
You can what?
He can't use this answer for what
no,
you
that's
said.
What I'm saying. It's,
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's kashya on the understanding of the Ramban.
Right. Right.
Yerushalmi would be understood.
Right. But then I think you have to then. So then, how do you understand the Gemara? According to that.
Everything that I said is what
Lieberman
according to the Yerushalmi.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Fine. So tzarich iyun in the Yerushalmi for more.
He improvises also on the Bavli, but we don't don't
fine. Okay, you're fine. We don't have to say the two.
Yeah,
okay, do. fair. Okay.
Is there anyone, I mean, according to the Ramban, the whole reason this is seemingly not a Yargal Yahu case because it's his Hana. Is there ever a situation where it's not his Hana? Is there like, I mean, I don't get what the Chiddush is of the Ramban to say that, oh, the reason why I just have to give her wife is because it's about his Hana.
No, meaning he's not sitting there and saying, like, look at these Jews, I'm getting them to violate their faith. That's why it's not Yehar Gval Yavor. He's just having physical pleasure. And so
it's about what his primary motivation is. Is his primary motivation, I want satisfaction, or his primary motivation, get Jews to break Judaism?
And right, and what the Ramban is saying, that since his motivation is physical satisfaction, it's not going to be Yehar Gval Yavor.
But even still, isn't there still a problem with Chalasha, regardless from the Jewish perspective, from our side, that even if it's not about his or Chalasha for that way, this will still be...
So it's not Chalasha Hashem, because everybody knows she's not a willing participant.
Karka Olam. Yeah. Sorry, Shanis.
I was just going to ask, is the main reason for Prima Nocta Hana, or is it to oppress the people and make them feel like they're subjugated and under the control system?
That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, that's
what Rabbi, everywhere we see Shema, I probably wrong, because I also saw in Lieberman earlier, that everywhere we see Shema, that's specifically not because of the political thing, and because they want to fight the Jews because of their Jewish Torah.
Right, it's not only that, but I mean, I don't know if that's what you're saying, but it's not about political subjugation, it's about religious acts specifically.
This is the Lieberman piece, yeah.
But I'm answering Seamus. In other words, even if this practice of Prima Noctis is about we are in control of you, that's not Shmad.
Right.
Shmad is, I want to get the Jews to break their Torah, not I want them to be my slaves.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the point of the Ramban. I think that's Davka, the point of the Ramban, is that since the whole motivation of this is simply Hana, so we're going to expand Hana from physical Hana to just like power Hana, like look at me, I can control the people. But it's still like it's still Hana as opposed to like it's what would you say political Hana? Yeah, political Hana,
it's
physical or political Hana?
Don't have Brit Mila anymore. It's different because he has also Hana from he's Marmiach or something.
Yeah. Okay, we'll finish the Ramban and then I think we'll close it up. The Shaloki Divrei HaRavid. So the Ramban is saying this is not what the Ravid says. Shamar Kol Bishad Hashmad Afilu Hana Atzman Tereg Val Tavor. According to the Ravid, any time there's Shad Hashmad, even if it's Lahad Atzman, Tarog Val Tavor. Vefshar Shkol Shad Hashmad Afilu Hana Atzman Aser Kadei Shelo Yu Hamitzvot Bizuyot Beinehen. V'kalop levatlan me'achar shehem gozrim shmad levatal mitzvotav. V'al kan kivan shekol ikaral lo gazru ela lahanat atzman eino shmad. And if you it wasn't clear exactly what the difference then between the Ramban and the Ravid is, so Rav David Pivarsky in footnote number 2, pshuto kavanato da'ravad mayri davka ba'alma da'havi mamash shad hashmad. If there was really like this religious persecution, v'alchan afti yesh gezerot she'osin lahanat atzman afilu hachi yerek val yavor. When the whole purpose of the government is to remove the Jewish people from their faith, then even if the specific thing is for Hana, afilu hachi yarag val yavor. Mash ein ken hacha, dasu rak gezeira zo. This wasn't like a widespread religious persecution thing. There was just this gezeira. Im ken, kevan dahavi la'anat atzman. It was just this, and it was just for Hana. Mimela eno shat hashmad klal. It's not really considered a shat hashmad. Kevan de lo gazru bishvil shmad rak lanat atzman v'zeh gam harayvid mo. I think it's probably modeh that it's permitted, and so that's how Rav David explains the Ravid's position here. I think there's the difference between the Ramban and the Ravid is a subtle one about whether we consider this really a shat hashmad or not. But that's how they get around this question. It's 11:31 already. I know we started a little bit late, but it is 11:31. We'll stop here. But there's more to say. I mean, there, obviously, every sugya we do, there's more to say.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest this is the last Friday shiur for this man. The next Friday shiur will be Erev Shabbos Parshas Noach. But we have on Tuesday, Stephen is going to give a shiur in Hashgafa.
All right, so we'll just pick up briefly before turning the floor over to Rav Steve. We'll just briefly cover just the last couple pieces from the shiur from Friday. Really, there's two themes here. I want to take no more than 10 minutes, maybe not even that, just to cover a little bit. There's a question, so we were talking again on Friday, just to remind everyone, so there was this sakana that the hegemon was going to come and would take the women, and the women were willing to die rather than sleep with him. And so this Chazal decided to change the date so that they wouldn't end up in this place of sakana, they would be dying. And we had a little bit of a discussion. There was the machloket, the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam about that specific thing. And then we were talking a little bit about just in general, isn't this Yahar Gval Yavor in general? That was a little bit with the Ramban and the Ravid. Now there's another question that comes up in the Rivash, which I give you the Rivash in source number one. He's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzet, which is where I initially saw him. And then Rav David in source number two explains it well. So I'll just actually, you can look at source number one if you want to see it inside, but we'll just look for the interest of time. Look at source number two. Hiksha b'shut ha-Rivash, the Rivash asks, L'may desal kadata chashta dehagzera hayta shetei hareg, hare bevadai kavanatam la'avir al dat. But the whole, it's clear that the whole point of what they were trying to do, what the hegemon was trying to do, was to make these women transgress their faith. V'im ken, havada hadin terek v'al ta'avor, umay parech shi'akru et ha'takana. Why was there even a havamin in the Gemara that we would remove this takana? This should be something that they should have fought strong for this. V'tiritz di in hachinami, al ha'nashim, have hadin leherag v'lo la'avor, al ha'takana. So the Rivash writes that it's true, strictly speaking, on the women, this would be a din of Yaharag Val Yavor. And if there was the stakana, it's good if they were to risk their lives for it. Kivan de'aleim haitag zera. Aval al Rabbanan, hare lo haitag zera shiakru atakanat yom dalin. The Rabbanan had no decree against them, so they could shift the takana, they could remove, not shift the takana, but temporarily suspend the takana of getting married on a Wednesday for the sake of moving it, and they have no problem. Had the powers that be been making a decree against Chachamim that they should violate their rules, then inachinami, you're right. They should be willing to die as opposed to change the takana. It only happens to be that it was not on the Rabbanan, it was on the women. But he says, look, had it been on the Rabbanan, hayutzrichin la'reg v'lo la'kor kevan tahave shat hashmad, v'etzem ha'kira have averet al dat, k'mod shinui arkata demesana. Aval kevan sheyagzera kan lo hayta aleihem, rak al hanashim, shapur mutar l'rabbanan la'kor takanatam. It's okay that they could change the date. Because the question is, like the Rivash is saying, is that I don't understand. Why would Chazal give in? There's this force that's not allowing them to practice religiously as they want to practice. Chazal just acquiesce and say, okay, we'll just shift the day. The Rivash is saying, I don't understand. What do you mean? If you have a takana, if you have a halacha, we do. I don't care if the powers at B say you can't do this. So what are we doing? Shifting slightly. We should stand up. If it's Yahar Gval Yavor, because it's Shad HaShemad, so it's Yahar Gval Yavor. Why are we changing the law, changing the takana in this case, in order to appease, or in order to work around what the powers are?
Originally, is appeasing and working around a different problem.
Also, but it wasn't because of a.
It doesn't matter where you pull it. If you pull it over here, then your leg's going to be out. If you pull it on the leg, then your head's going to be out.
But no, but the
first place was meant to solve a different problem.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, why would there be even?
Right. But even the not go too far deeply into the whole Yahar Gval Yavor Kiddush Hashem type of thing, but even changing the shoelaces. If this is some like religious coercion thing, I don't care what the reason is. This is what we do. This is our religious value. This is the takana that the rabbis made. You're now this non-Jewish power.
The rabbis themselves say that the takana was there for a certain solution, and now.
And I'm not going to let this political power as their form of anti-Semitism keep me from doing it.
A different problem. I still don't get that question.
Listen, why should we just give in to what the? Why are we giving in?
The question fundamentally is this. Changing of the takana an issue of shmat? That's what he's asking. And the answer is no, because they didn't care what day we get married. That wasn't
Right.
They didn't care what day we get married. They weren't trying to change what day we get married. They could care less. The question that he's asking is, why isn't it a problem of mishum shmat for us to change the wedding date? And the answer is because that's what they weren't trying to get us to.
Because the wedding, why not just saying that originally the wedding date was a chachamim takana?
So yeah, but if not, it, but yes, but it was, but it's a chachamim takana is a real takana. What's that? Right. This is a real takana. The rabbi said this is what we do, and now because of a fear of them, we're just going to shift it. What do you mean?
And the answer is yes.
Well, that's the answer. Yeah, that's what he says. Well, no, I think he says because it was on. I think.
Yes, because that wasn't what they were trying to do.
Correct. They weren't trying to uproot some religious thing. Had it been that, had they been saying, rabbis, you're not allowed to establish dates for weddings, then it would have been different. But that's not what they were doing.
They're very happy for us to continue to get married on Wednesdays. It makes their life easier.
No, but they're saying the fact that the car was on the woman, that actually is a siman showing us it wasn't against the...
It wasn't against the rabbis.
It's not against the rabbis.
Right. But had it been against the rabbis, right? Had the hegemon said, not I'm going to sleep with the women, but you're not allowed to make weddings at this time, then it would be Yehargav al Yavor. That's source number two.
So, but you're not answering another question that can be so not used there. Let's revise the first account of the Kanat of Israel, just to do it for the wedding, and let's do it on Sunday. That would be easier than just doing it on Tuesday. That would be a middle way of not doing it on Tuesday. That's not a day. Let's do it on Sunday, and on the next day they're going to be based. And the only thing we're putting on hold is that the kind of the,
yeah, so I mean we ultimately that in the conclusion of the Gemara we ultimately go in that direction to say that if there is not sakana, what is the language of the Gemara? What? Yeah. In the case of Ones, yeah. Yeah, in the case of Ones, so then we do follow that road to some degree. And the Gemara does say, yes, if you got the military group coming and they're going to take all the food, so then we'll waive that takana. But we'd rather not waive as many takanot that we can. We try to minimize the amount of throwing out of takanot as we can. Right? So like, you're right. If we could get rid of it and put it on Sunday, and maybe sometimes we do, but we'd prefer not to. Or if we can move, let's move it to Monday. We'll get a day. But fair point. This just is also similar in. I'll do the Bach and then I'll leave for your Yom Kippur afternoon reading the Maharik and the Noda Bihuda about the limits of Karka Olam. But the Bach just says, I'll say it outside. But the Bach, so the Torah talked about this is halacha that. We light outside, but if you're in a place where it's not safe to light outside for Hadlakat Nerot, so for Hanukkah, so you light inside at the table. The Torah writes, right? You put it Samach Rishit Rami, Bechutz Min Beit Petuch Rishit Rami, and then he says somewhere. Hopefully, I put the right words. Vishad Hazakana, second line in the Torah towards the end. And the Bach says, I don't know, he says, you can't change anything, even the shoelace color in the time of Shemad. So the fact that they're lighting Hanukkah candles inside as opposed to outside, they're not being, you know, uprooting the entire mitzvah. They're not changing the mitzvah, they're just changing the location of the mitzvah. And you're allowed to do that. If it's Shad HaShmad, you don't have to throw, if you can find a way to climb the mitzvah, just do it slightly differently and in a safer way, then that's absolutely totally fine. You don't have to give your life for that. You're not changing the actual takana, we're just shifting how we're following it. And such a say, so you're totally allowed to do that. You don't have to put your life on the line if you were uprooting the takana in general. But
what does it mean uprooting the takana in general? Not getting married? What does it mean? I mean,
yeah?
No. Not to get married?
Even would have uprooted the takana in general. They would say,
I'm not sure.
Don't get married. That's impossible.
Yeah.
That's impossible. Not to get married. It's impossible.
Why?
Because you can't.
Or I think saying that it should be, it would be Yahar Gval Yavor. Maybe I think he's saying that it could have been if the Takana had been against.
Well, I don't mean is no matter what, get level, light the candles. On the other hand, or don't light at all. What are we doing? Shifting the place. Here, changing the day. So don't get married. Don't have families. Have families that only are not
Kedas Moshe Yisrael?
I'm not sure.
Sounds like a weird thing to say that. Well, okay.
What to think about?
I'm just saying it's not, I don't find it similar, but it's fine, okay. The Bach.
Okay. We'll have further conversation about the Bach later. You can look at the Maharik and the Nebihuda outside. Basically, the Maharik says any type of time that she is, she's always the status of Karka Olam, even if she's proactive in pursuing him for some good reason. He points to Esther. Esther was Karka Olam, even though she was pursuing Achashverosh. He says it's impossible to say that she did anything negative because, as a woman, I don't know. I think he's saying she's certainly Karka Olam in this case. The Nuda Behuda, though, finds that very problematic. Because Esther was different because of saving the whole, all of world Jewry. But in general, if a woman is putting herself in a situation of Ones, or putting herself in a situation where this is going to happen, she can't claim Karka Olam. The case that he's specifically dealing with is a woman who puts herself out there to protect a whole group of people. She says, I'll sleep with you to save this group of men. And he said, and there was an argument to say maybe that's okay as Ones, and we'll just say it's Karka Olam. And the Nota Bihuda is saying you can't say that if she's putting herself in that situation. If she's unfortunately in a situation where that happens to her, okay, a Karka Olam. But if she is pursuing it, even if she has good ideas in mind, if she's pursuing it, you can't say that it's Karka Olam. Anyway, there's again a lot to say about that. And sources number 5 and 6, food for thought, and what to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was Ari Shavit's article.
Okay. Okay.